Hey kids, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. I am a little loopy. I think this is the fifth straight one of these that I've recorded. I've been working ahead to accommodate my schedule, did some advanced weekend stuff. I've had two iced coffees. I'm wired. Speaking of the weekend, if you missed this weekend's shows, they were a lot of fun. Yesterday, I debuted my Pete Davidson impression, and I guarantee you it's probably the best Pete Davidson you've ever heard. Have you heard anyone do Pete Davidson? No. Mine's the best. You know it. And Saturday, a look at some comedic movies. The words Adam and Sandler are said a few times during it, but I didn't do my usual rant. Take a listen. The weekend shows actually do quite well download-wise. Appreciate that. All right, but you want to hear jokes. How about the late-night shows? Stephen Colbert, President Biden announced a dramatic change to America's COVID plan. There is one. And that means Groundhog Day tomorrow, Punxsutawney Phil can come out of his burrow and get vaccinated and stay within 6 feet of his shadow. Love it. And Stephen Colbert, the most exciting news. The federal government is buying enough additional doses to vaccinate 300 million Americans by the end of the summer. So next Halloween, you know the hottest costume is going to be sexy normal people saying hello. They're sexy because they can touch hands. The New York Times asked a bunch of people how to make the Oscars better. One of those people, Ricky Gervais, he said, I like to see acclaim and I like to see people rewarded. And if it means something to them, that's nice. But I also want to see a bit of humility and fun. The audience knows they already got tens of millions of dollars that year. And now we're meant to care as much about that award as they do. Well, that's a hard ask. Hollywood has taken a knock in recent years. People got tired of being lectured by millionaires. You know, they've got as much right as anyone to say what they want, but it makes me laugh when people are very, very brave until the studio says, can you apologize for that tweet? And they apologize, but they don't mean it. They're worried about their movie. So all those things that make the audience step back and go, do I believe in these people? They pretend for a living. I think they've got to mix it up and laugh at themselves a little bit and do, thank you, what a lovely occasion this is dedicated to my grand, that's all fine. It's like when someone takes the stage, like everyone in the world has asked them for their help to change humanity, and they take their glasses out and go, a few things need to be said, and I'm the person to say them. Thank God I'm here. I stumbled across a series of articles on the AV Club about TV characters that should have been fired. I thought I'd do one of these on the next upcoming Mondays. Today, we will focus on Dwight Schrute. The AV Club says, how did transgression-prone paper pusher Dwight Schrute manage to remain employed at Dunder Mifflin throughout the 9 years? Sure, Michael Scott fired him once, a termination that lasted exactly one episode. But that was for betraying his trust, not for any one of the lawsuit-worthy incidents he was involved in before or after. Over the course of the series, Dwight quoted Hitler and Mussolini during an acceptance speech, egged a potential client's business, kidnapped a pizza boy, had sex with a coworker on company property, fought another coworker on company property, viciously dismembered a rescue Ann doll, and caused mass panic and a heart attack by staging a fake fire. Those last two actions happened within days of each other, by the way. But the series reached a point of no return, at least as far as plausibility is concerned, when Dwight discharged a firearm in the office, temporarily deafening Andy, and he still held on to his job. Great salesman or not, there's no coming back from that. Vulture caught up with Mike Birbiglia. He said, on March 10th, 2020, I drove from my apartment in Brooklyn to a weekend of club shows in Buffalo, New York to work out new material for a theater tour. Buffalo is one of those places I've always enjoyed visiting. My mother's parents lived there for their entire lives. So as a kid, I'd always have at least one annual trip to Buffalo, a city I thought of as exotic. As an adult, I like Buffalo because I like the people at my shows and the hotel near the club and the people at the hotel and the coffee shops near the hotel and the people at the coffee shops near the hotel. In general, those are the folks I encounter when I'm on the road, and I love being on the road. I like meeting people from all over the country and performing shows. I sometimes make this joke that people call me a coastal elite just because I live in New York and I'm better than other people. I understand where the trope comes from, but in truth, I'm not a coastal elite. Often, actual coastal elites will say to me, must be hard doing shows in the Midwest. And I say, nah, it's easier. Check out the Is This Entertainment podcast. They sponsor today's Daily Comedy News. Jacob and Ben, two self-described hermits that play music together, have episodes about the music they're listening to, the TV shows, and the movies they're watching. They just recapped The Mandalorian, and now they're talking about WandaVision. So this is totally, totally in my wheelhouse. By the way, are you watching WandaVision? WandaVision is amazing. I don't even care about the Marvel stuff. I just wish WandaVision would be Bewitched 2021. I would just watch that. Forget about the Marvel stuff. So they ask the question, is this entertaining? They're not sure, but they're having a lot of fun doing it. They've also got a YouTube channel. I was checking out some of the clips. On one of those clips, they took me down a rabbit hole about the Bermuda Triangle. I'm stealing from these guys now. Sorry, Jacob and Ben. But they point out, in the 70s, everything was like Bermuda Triangle, Bermuda Triangle. You never hear about the Bermuda Triangle now. That was like a thing. And whatever happened to the killer bees? Let's talk about the killer bees. They were coming from Mexico to kill us. They were like the murder hornets of 1978. The dude Ben on the show is a former improv performer. We've got to get back in the improv. Ben, what are you doing? Check out their website, isthisentertainment.com, and the podcast is This Entertainment. Wherever you get your shows, Is This Entertainment podcast. Jacob and Ben, thank you for supporting today's Daily Comedy News. Sam Morril spoke to the Daily Beast about why he changed the wording of a joke after talking to the mother of a trans kid. Sam said it was an old joke. I don't even think it was that good a joke. It was about a Life Alert commercial where the woman was like, help, help. And I was like, not every ad can just show the worst case scenario. Like you wake up next to a chick and she's got an Adam's apple and just like, uh-oh, lens crafters. And I might have said tranny in the joke. It was like 2014 or something. I didn't even know it was a slur at the time. Honestly, it wasn't me trying to be malicious. And she told me in a very respectful way. And I said, thank you for telling me. I won't say it anymore. I think when you have a constructive conversation, I'm always open to it. I'm never just trying to troll. That's not my style. I'm ashamed of a lot of jokes I told. But I also think if you don't look back with regret, you're not moving forward. The New York Times wrote a just flowing piece about Keegan-Michael Key, and longtime listeners here know I love Keegan-Michael Key. They wrote, what if the most impressive post-sketch show career belongs to Key, not Peele? That's right. Like Peele, love Key. The Times says, sure, it's a hot take, but hear me out. Jordan Peele followed the Comedy Central hit Key and Peele by merely becoming one of the greatest film auteurs of his generation, whereas his partner Keegan-Michael Key took a more varied route, stealing scenes in Hamlet at the Public Theater and improvising bits on Broadway, singing in a movie musical, starring in a comedy series, doing prolific voice work in blockbuster movies, hosting a game show, and being an absolute stellar talk show guest. As you could tell, the Times loved the history of sketch comedy. That's Keegan-Michael Key's new podcast on Audible. Along the way, he pauses to offer the kind of practical tips you might find in masterclass videos. Quoting Key here, if you're an actor in a comedy, you should be trying to make the crew laugh. Key explains concepts taught in comedy schools like heightening or the game of a scene, and also breaks down the four main comedy character archetypes. Demystifying the art, he provides, if not a formula, then a roadmap. But the most ambitious role he plays is not as a comedy mentor or as a historian, but as a performer. The heart of the series is in the sketches. Instead of relying on tape from SNL, Living Color, or anything else, Key performs them all himself. It's a feat to pivot from analysis to performances, let alone between Abbott Costello and Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. It's also a risk. Can jokes from Chappelle's show still work if you take out Dave Chappelle? And considering the reputation that comedy doesn't age well, will old sketches still make audiences laugh? They certainly crack up Keegan-Michael Key. As an example, it makes a strong case for Bob and Ray's Slow Talkers of America routine. Key's version of the classic, built on the frustration of a conversation with a man who takes extremely long pauses, is absolutely hilarious. Spoilers, in his final episode, Key is particularly persuasive, championing what he considers the pinnacle of the art form, the audition segment in Mr. Show, the great innovative sketch series by David Cross and Bob Odenkirk that hinges on an elegantly simple premise about the misunderstanding of when a scene begins. What makes Key such a superb interpreter is how alert he is to the subtle choices, the minor variations that build pace and spin a setup into something dizzyingly funny. There's a lot more. I got to split this to tomorrow because that is your Daily Comedy News for today. You can follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, wherever you get your show. Hey, Johnny Mac, why are you wrapping it up? Hey, remember at the beginning where I told you that I've recorded like four or five of these in a row? My battery's at 5%. The laptop's going to shut down. I got to go plug in. So more about Keegan-Michael Key tomorrow. If you want to support the show, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. And if you don't, that's cool too. See you tomorrow.